Salvation Now podcast, where you'll discover and be equipped with keys from the Word of God that will pave the way to God's unlimited blessing in your life. Now, here's your host, Evangelist TJ Malkanji.
Is America in final Bible prophecy? Before I get into that, I just want to read Revelation 1, 1 through 3. This is what John the Revelator writes. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Jesus to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. And this is what John writes in Revelation 1 verse 3 concerning our study of Bible prophecy, our interest in eschatology, our giving ourselves over to understanding final Bible prophecy. This is what John says to anyone that looks into these things. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keeps those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Anytime you take it upon yourself to study and understand final Bible prophecy, in the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, and elsewhere in the Bible, when you become mature enough to realize that the time is ticking and the last few grains of sand are trickling through the hourglass of time, and Jesus is ready for his return, and he's readying his bride for that return. When you take life seriously and you're not living in frivolity, what is frivolity? It's just taking life as it comes. YOLO, one life to live. That's it. No, we're going to be judged one day. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the things that we did and accomplished in the flesh. What did we do with Bible prophecy? Did we get ready? Did we prepare ourselves? Did we study and incline our hearts to understand how things are going to unfold so that we can find our place in prophecy and do what God's called us to do, so that when the master does return, we're not found eating and drinking and being merry, but rather we're ready to meet him at his coming? I believe that's why God's drawn you to this broadcast today. Whether you're watching live or on the replay, God has a plan for you in these final moments of time, and it's not for you to sit on your blessed assurance and be rapture ready, twiddling your thumbs. It's for you to put your hand to the plow, and in light of what we're going to talk about tonight, today, to be ready and prepared. For Bible prophecy is not meant to scare you, but final Bible prophecy is meant to prepare you. And I believe that's what's going to happen today. God, that's what I love studying prophecy, because it puts something in you where you sober up and you realize life's not going to, it's not going to go on forever. And that I believe even our generation, many people in our generation might not even see death. We might hear that trumpet sound. And I want to be one of those people that are receiving heaven's marching orders and walking in heaven's marching orders as a good soldier. Paul told Timothy, therefore, by the grace of God, be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're part of that SEAL Team 6 Marine End Time Army, I want you to write in the comment section, I'm ready. I'm ready. So, is America in final Bible prophecy? Will God continue to bless America, this glorious nation that was founded upon Christian principles and Judeo-Christian values found in the Bible? Will the United States eventually fall? Does the Bible specifically mention the United States of America by name? What are we to do with America, this superpower, in the last days? America has the greatest military strength that has ever been known to man in the history of mankind. Greater military prowess than even the Egyptian Empire, the Roman Empire, and the British Empire. Greatest, one of the greatest economies. One of the greatest societies. One of the greatest, they call it the American dream. Everybody for a long time was looking to America to see how to do life, how to run a nation. America was long time esteemed as the greatest place on earth, and I still believe is the greatest place on earth, and as Lester Sumrall used to say, it's still the last bastion of freedom that God has on the earth. If America falls, every other nation that really believes in freedom of speech, the stronghold of free speech on the earth resides in America. And if America should fall, it would actually topple over, I believe, free speech, free living, and this positive influence that it has had on many nations. Now, I'm not saying by any means America is perfect, Canada is perfect. They are not. There have been many wicked rulers and corrupt leaders and politicians who've made corrupt decisions and have inflicted harm and damage on other nations. I'm not saying it's perfect. There will never be a perfect nation on planet Earth until the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that the fire of God is going to burn up the earth and God is going to usher in a new heaven and a new earth where Christ will reign and rule as King of Kings, and the kingdoms and the nations and the rulerships of this earth will be given over to Jesus Christ, the King of Glory. And there, that nation, that kingdom, the kingdom of heaven and earth will be ruled in righteousness, in justice, and in truth. And the Bible says we're going to rule and reign with Christ forever. So I'm not saying America has attained that. America is not heaven on earth. But given the nature of America and the grandiosity of America and its level of power that it has currently, is America found in Bible prophecy? And if it is not, why not? I'm going to answer these questions today. Because the Bible does mention by name specific nations on the earth today. You can study in Ezekiel, you can study in Revelation, you can study in the book of Daniel. There are certain nations that are highlighted by name from the Holy Scriptures that are still nations today. They may not have the same name, but the people groups that resided there in the biblical history are there now in modern history. Here are a few. You have mentioned the land of Magog, which if you study its historical roots, it has to do with the Stan Nations. What are the Stan Nations? The former USSR was dismantled, and many nations came out of the former USSR, and many of them are Islamic nations to this day. You have Afghanistan, you have Kazakhstan, but all these Stan Nations that formerly were part of the Russian Empire, they did not find their beginnings in the Russian Empire. They actually go far back. Even to biblical history, the land of Magog, if you study its geography, it's the same geography that we find the same people groups there located today. And they're essentially the Stan Nations, the Islamic republics of the former Soviet Union. You have found in the Bible the nation of Meshech, which is modern day Turkey. You have found in the Bible the nation of Persia, which is modern day Iran. And any serious student of history and Bible history and Bible study will confirm this. This is not something I'm doing as a conspiracy theorist in my basement, just trying to. No, these are known facts. These are even secular historians and biblical historians can agree on these things. You have Persia, modern Iran. You have Ethiopia, which is geographically the region being referred to and can be identified as modern Sudan, which we're going to talk about them. We have the nation of Put, which is modern day Libya. And we have the nation of Beth Togarmah, which would fall under the geography of southern Turkey. So you have a lot of modern nations mentioned in the Bible, but you'll never find America mentioned specifically by name in the entirety of Scripture. And though there are some scholars and Bible students that will try to stretch several passages of Scripture to kind of insert America in Bible prophecy, we're going to go through three of them today. It is my conviction that those are merely what I said they were, stretches, that you'd have to perform some sort of theological gymnastics and stretches in order to actually interpret these passages that we're going to read in such a fashion. You know, my mentor in the faith, evangelist Tiff Shuttlesworth, he always has this quote that he's mentioned several times on his broadcast. He says this: the Bible has to be read prayerfully and carefully, and we must interpret it by what it says and not what we want it to say. Because you can have American patriots and Canadian patriots that are saying, surely America the great, God has not neglected to mention it in Bible prophecy. But we're going to find out in a very short while, especially as I go through the four different scenarios that could play out that show us why America is not mentioned in final Bible prophecy. But mainly, if I could summarize everything today in this one nutshell statement, it would be God is not obliged to mention America in final Bible prophecy simply because America is not the center focus of the Bible, and especially of Bible prophecy. The center focus of the Bible is two things. You have Jesus Christ, Messiah, and Jerusalem, the city of the great king. You know, during the eclipse that happened last week, we had a lot of YouTube guys, and I'm not against it. I'm not against talking about it. It's nice. It was an amazing, it's a phenomenon. It's something that's been brought by God. It's a cosmological sign. I don't believe it's a biblical sign or anything, but I believe it's a cosmological sign that God is and that he is the intellectual designer behind all things. It was a special thing to see. I myself saw it. I brought my family to see it because we were right in the path. We had a total eclipse. It was amazing. But here was my worry. We had so many people on YouTube, on Instagram, making videos on the eclipse, doomsday prophets saying that this is the sign because it's going over certain cities in America. And in 2017, there was another eclipse, and the eclipse signed a big X on America. And so this is God's sign that we're in the last days, when in actual fact, if you read Bible prophecy, America is not the center focus at all. Jerusalem is. And what happened in Jerusalem? And I'm going to talk about it today in the closing remarks of this broadcast. What happened in Jerusalem and in Israel just a couple of days ago on Saturday night, when I was preparing to go up and preach in Buffalo, I was going through my Twitter feed, and there we saw it. Iran had launched 400 to 500 drones into Israeli airspace that was going to hit in the hours of 3 a.m. Jerusalem time. And there was no coverage of it when it came to the same people that were emphasizing the eclipse. People that were emphasizing the eclipse, people that were literally calling the eclipse an apocalyptic level event, when in actual fact there's an eclipse every 18 months. Just because it happened in America and it's around people, around you know, this great nation, people label that an apocalyptic level of event, not even realizing that on Saturday night we actually saw an apocalyptic level event transpire with Iran attacking Israel, which is literally not a de-escalation. It was an escalation of the war that began in October of 2023 when Hamas attacked Israel. And we're going to talk about that. But why is it that you have modern day preachers that are sounding alarms with eclipses, but they're so ignorant and void of the knowledge of final Bible prophecy that when it actually takes place before our eyes, we say nothing? No, no, no. I've made my vow before the Lord with his power and his grace and his strength. I am going to see things play out in my world biblically. I'm going to look at my world through the lens of scripture, and I'm going to make sure that when the alarms do sound prophetically as we see them play out in the Bible, I'm not going to stay quiet. I'm going to use my mouth to, like Joel, blow the trumpet, sound the alarm, and get the army ready for his return. So there are some scholars, going back to America and final Bible prophecy, there are some scholars that use Isaiah chapter 18 to explain America's role in the Bible. And America is indeed mentioned in the Holy Scriptures. This is the scripture. Isaiah 18 and verse 1. Woe to the land shadowed with buzzing wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. The Hebrew says the nation of Cush, or the rivers of Cush, which is modern day Sudan. I know it says Ethiopia here, but it actually is the nation of Kush, which is modern day Sudan. Verse 2, which sends ambassadors by sea, even vessels of reed on the water, saying, go swift messengers to a nation tall and smooth of skin. This is where they say America has the tallest people on earth. And in the Middle East in that day, everyone had beards. America, all the politicians in America are clean shaven. Rarely, if ever, do you ever see a politician in America with a beard. They're groomed and taught to be clean shaven because it's politically the thing to do. And so a lot of people say, look, they're tall. American soldiers are the tallest soldiers on the earth. American men, you know, country boys, they're eating. They eat for four people. They're strong men. Americans have strong soldiers, strong people, and they're clean shaven. So that's what they take that to mean. Well, this is clearly speaking of a Western nation that's tall and smooth of skin. And then they further try to prove their statement by saying, to a people terrible from their beginning onward, a nation powerful and treading down or oppressing, meaning they have less global dominance, whose land the rivers divide. Said it before, this global dominance. America has the strongest military power that has ever been known to men. We rule through our military power. And so they say a nation powerful and treading down, oppressive, meaning nobody can break out of their realm of sovereignty or control. And then it says, whose lands the rivers divide. Well, America is divided by the Mississippi and other rivers. There's many rivers that run through America. And the Mississippi is essentially what divides the north and the south. The north and the south runs right down that Mississippi River. And so they've taken that to mean that this is a clear picture and definition of America, of the United States, modern day history. But all of that is debunked simply because of verse 1. Verse 1 states it clearly. Woe to the land shadowed with buzzing wings, which is beyond the rivers of Cush, modern-day Sudan. Had Isaiah not mentioned the nation of Ethiopia, of Cush, the rivers of Ethiopia, Cush, which we know as modern-day Sudan, then we could have used our imaginations and believed that it was modern-day America. But the writer literally states it here, plain, in black and white, that it's not speaking of a far western nation, it's speaking of Cush. Cush is modern day Sudan. The second scripture that some people like to use to stretch or insert America into Bible prophecy is Ezekiel 38. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 13. Let's start with verse 12. Matter of fact, let's start with verse 11. You will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people and who dwell in safely. All of them who dwell without walls, having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are against inhabited and against the people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods who dwell in the midst of the land. Verse 13, Sheba, Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, take note of that specific place, Tarshish, and all their young lions will say to you, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take great plunder? Some, I guess, loose and liberal theologians have taken that to mean that the merchants of Tarshish, since in the Bible, Tarshish is always referred to as the most Western nation in the known world, that Ezekiel was referring to the farthest Western region that will be in operation in the last days. But because Ezekiel is not writing in our modern history right now, he's writing in probably around the 5th century BC. He's most likely and definitely referring to the farthest western region, because if you study Tarshish all throughout other scriptures, anytime it's mentioned, it's talking about the merchants and the people of the furthest region in the known world then, which was Spain. It could have certainly been used to define all Western nations of the world, including America, but to specifically point out America in this passage and say the Bible is unequivocally defining America by referring to the nation of Tarshish is not theologic or hermeneutically correct to do. And then some have even gone as far as to say when the Bible says the young lions, get this, I even heard this, the young lions, because we said here, Tarshish and all their young lions will say to you, that the young lions refer to, because England has the lion as their national logo and symbol, that the young lions could certainly mean the Commonwealth countries that England has birthed, namely America, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, that these young lions are the Commonwealth nations birthed by England, and that they're going to be key players, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, America, key players in this battle of Gog and Magog that's being described in Ezekiel 38. But then, once again, you're totally reading into a passage what's just simply not stated. And I would advise you, not only for things like this, but for anything that you study in the Bible, do not fall in the error of speaking where the Bible is silent. If the Bible is silent on a given matter, it is because God intended it to be silent. If the Bible speaks on a given matter, the Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Those things which he has revealed, they belong to the children of men. That's Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. So to say that the young lions refer to America and Canada and other nations, you're essentially reading your worldview and desire into the text rather than just letting the Bible speak for itself. The third passage, and I'm not going to read it in its entirety, but the third passage used by some scholars to prove America's position in final Bible prophecy is found in Revelation 17 and 18. Chapter 17 and 18, when the Bible talks about Babylon the Great. It's referred to as the Great City. And some have even said specifically it's referring to New York City. And you'd have to stretch things out real far and wide to believe that, because John in the book of Revelation clearly speaks and talks about Babylon on the river Euphrates. And I actually have a book here by a great man of God, Mark Hitchcock, who's a premier scholar in eschatology. And he writes the seven clues in the chapters that help identify the city of Babylon in chapter 17 and 18, and further proof that it's not speaking of America. One, Babylon is specifically identified as a city. It's described, number two, as a city of worldwide importance and influence, and possibly will be the capital city of the world in the end times. Babylon, number three, and the Antichrist are very closely connected with one another. The woman is pictured, Babylon, as riding on the beast, the Antichrist. Four, Babylon is the center of all false religion. Five, Babylon is the center of world commerce. These two systems, religion and commerce, will share the same geographical location under the Antichrist domain. Six, Babylon persecutes the Lord's people. And seven, Babylon will be destroyed suddenly and completely at the end of tribulation, never to rise again. And then he moves on to talk about the roots of this city, Babylon, that it, one, was a city where man first began to worship himself in organized rebellion against God. America is not the city, the nation, or New York City is not the city where men first worshiped themselves. It was literally in Babel, Genesis chapter 11, a Middle Eastern region hooked right next to the river Euphrates. Two, Babylon was the capital city of the first world ruler, Nimrod. Genesis 10, Nebuchadnezzar is said to have destroyed the physical city of Jerusalem and brought the Jewish people into Babylon, the great city of Nebuchadnezzar. And four, Babylon is the capital of the first four Gentile world empires Daniel talks about that ruled over Jerusalem. Babylon is seen as the city that Satan rules from in the last days, and it will be, the scripture says, the mother of all wickedness who prostitutes herself with all the nations of the earth. So Why is it? Now that we've seen that those three scriptures oftentimes used to prove America's role in final Bible prophecy, that it's not really speaking of that at all. Why is America mysteriously and suspiciously absent from final Bible prophecy? I want to know, and I know you're watching because you want to know. Well, first of all, it might be short-sighted egocentrism that makes us believe that America should be included in final Bible prophecy. As I said before, America is not the center focus of prophecy. It's Jerusalem and Israel. But it is mysteriously absent given that America is still the dominant world figure on the earth. Most of the mega companies and mega wealth is located in America. The U.S. dollar still remains the dominant currency on the earth. So it seems to me that if America remains as a superpower, it should be included in Bible prophecy. There are four schools of thought that most theologians hold to. One, and they're not all right. And I'm going to tell you which one I believe and most closely holds to the view of Scripture. One, first school of thought regarding America's mysterious absence from Bible prophecy is America will still be a powerful nation in the last days, but God just simply chose to omit her and her role specifically. Canada's not mentioned in the Bible. Japan's not mentioned in the Bible. Australia's not mentioned in the Bible. Brazil's not mentioned in the Bible. And these are still major players in the geopolitical field of our day. So there are people that believe that just America is just simply not mentioned because it's just not relevant. I don't believe this simply because America holds way too much influence on the earth to not be mentioned if America remains in its state geopolitically as it is right now. John Walvoord, who was an amazing student of final Bible prophecy, the book of Revelation, has written a lot of books on this. He gave his life. He's literally given his life's work to studying this. So he is a authority when it comes to eschatology. He writes this in his book: the scriptural evidence is sufficient to conclude that America in that day will not be a major power and apparently does not figure largely in either the political, economic, or religious aspects of the world in that day. So that's why I personally do not believe that America is just not spoken of, even though they're going to maintain their status as superpower. They're just not spoken of because God chose to omit it. I don't believe that, because the Bible is extremely detailed and it always mentions key players when it prophesies the last days. School of thought number two: America is simply not mentioned specifically because she'll be destroyed externally. A war would cause forces stronger than her to cause her to fall and be ruled by a nation that is mentioned in Bible prophecy. That America will literally fall as the global superpower that it is today by a foreign nation, either through invasion or since America, I heard one man of God say this: America's the only nation in history that has ever sowed a nuclear bomb into another nation. And could it be that America is not mentioned in Bible prophecy because it will reap the consequence of its actions one day and a nuclear bomb or some sort of cataclysmic event will be sown in her? America is not mentioned, school of thought number two, because she may be destroyed from the outside in. America, number three, is not mentioned in Bible prophecy because of an internal collapse. This is interesting. Moral and spiritual deterioration of the nation could lead to some sort of civil war or an internal collapse. People turning upon themselves. You know, what you're seeing right now, the moral degradation of society, Romans 1 saying that because they did not see to acknowledge God in their ways, And they did not see it fit to praise God. God gave them over to a deprived mind and they began to do things against nature. And you see in Romans 1, this degradation of morality play out that God speaks of. Could it be that America as a nation could be in the infancy of that? And as a result, Because sin brings a reproach on any people that America will collapse internally and implode internally. Some form of judgment on America. Now, I personally also do not hold to this point of view simply because I believe that as long as there's a remnant in the land, as long as there is people standing in the gap, God says, just like he did for Israel many times, he protected Israel, not because of the general population, but because of the remnant. And I believe that in these last final moments of time, that we're not going to see a collapse of America, but that we're going to see a revival in America. And I hold to that point of view, and I hold it strongly. And when I preach that from the Bible, that we can expect to see an accelerated harvest come in, America included, Canada included, as we see the final closing chapters of history unfold, because Jesus himself said this gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached in all the world. I don't believe God's going to bring judgment on America at this present time, because in the New Testament, when God is not pleased with the direction of a nation, he doesn't send the judgment. He sends men and women anointed of the Holy Ghost and fire to bring revival and awakening to that people. Can you say amen? So, some people believe America is not mentioned because of an internal collapse that will take place. A civil war, perhaps wicked leadership elected by sinful people signing laws into place in America that would plunge America into a dark age. Number four, and this is where I hold as a belief. And it actually is the popular opinion amongst most of the premier Bible scholars when it comes to this specific question as to America's mysterious absence in Bible prophecy. America, this is what I believe, America will become a third world nation overnight because of the rapture of the church. Now listen to me. Explain this. America has 80 to 90 million evangelical Christians, people that believe, or at least claim to believe, in Jesus Christ's resurrection and lordship over their life. If 90 million people mysteriously vanish in the twinkling of an eye, caught up to meet the Lord in the air, which I have to say this, when you're studying the timeline of Bible prophecy unfolding in the last days, scripturally, the next prophetic event that's going to take place on God's end time agenda is the rapture of the church. The only thing that was holding back that rapture from taking place was Matthew 24, when Jesus said, when you see the fig tree bud again, the generation that sees that take place will not pass away until everything else takes place. The fig tree was symbolic and is continuously to this day symbolic of the nation of Israel. Jesus was saying, as he was prophesying of Jerusalem's fall, which happened in 70 AD, 40 years after Christ's resurrection and ascension, Jerusalem falls. Well, Jesus ahead of time prophesied, it's gonna fall, but I'm telling you, the fig tree is going to bud again, and the generation that sees the fig tree bud again will not pass away till everything else takes place. That was the last sign that had to happen before everything else describing the end time drama could unfold. So the next prophetic event on God's prophetic timeline of things is the rapture of the church. The Bible makes it clear in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 17. The Bible makes it clear from the book of 1 John. And the Bible makes it clear from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that there is an event that's going to take place where a trumpet is going to sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. Those that are alive and remain will be caught up. Well, I don't see the word rapture in the Bible. I don't believe in a rapture. It's not found anywhere in the Bible. I'm glad you brought that up. The Bible's not written in English. It's written in Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew. And so obviously there's not going to be the word rapture in the Bible, but you see the definition of it clearly laid out in Scripture. The Greek word is harpazo. It was translated into Latin in the Vulgate as rapturo. And if you read in a New King James or a King James Bible, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13 to 17, the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise and those that are alive and on the earth will be caught up. And if you study that word caught up in the Greek, it's harpazo. It literally means to forcefully remove something, to violently snatch something off the earth. And so though the actual word rapture may not be found in the Bible, the definition of it is certainly found and present in the scriptures. There's going to be a day where those that are in Christ in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and if you study how quickly a blink of an eye is, it's like a fraction of a second. That's how quick it's going to be. Here now, gone in a fraction of a second. And I believe that that event is going to plunge America and many other Western nations into the dark age, because think of it, mortgages that need to be paid, unpaid by 80 million, 70 million, how many millions of people that'll be caught up in that event? Debts, loans that won't be paid back. There'll be stock market crashes immediately. Businesses run by Holy Ghost Christian businessmen, kaputs, those things will fall, collapse immediately. Factories and big mega companies that have many Christian workers, all of a sudden, their companies are going to be bankrupt of workforce overnight and unable to continue production. If this occurs, America will literally be weakened into a state of total depravity. And I believe would be forced to amalgamate or be joined together with global powers that will be largely untouched because of the rapture. Think of all the Islamic nations that will virtually go on business as usual because there's a very small percentage of Christians that even live there. Think of all the nations. Look at China. With the 1.5 billion people, now there is a move of God happening in China, and there's 100 or 200 or 300 million Christians now. But even 300 million Christians, if they were to suddenly vanish, there's still 1.1 billion people in China with a wicked ruler there right now who literally, if you study his life, he sees himself as a divine agent on the earth, with a divine commission to cover the globe with Chinese supremacy. And you can study it on your own time. That's a known thing. I think even Times Magazine and other American news agencies have done articles on that, bringing that to light. So imagine they're going to be untouched, and already China and America, Russia and America, Iran, Iraq, and all the stuff. Already, there's a friction. Imagine if the American military, how many Christians that you know are in the American military that make up the Marines and other sectors of the military, Navy, and Air Force. All of a sudden, the military will be handicapped, cut. And all the other superpowers, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to take opportunity. If this occurred, I really believe America would be weakened to a state where they would have no choice but to either hopelessly fight and lose or preemptively surrender and amalgamate into the covering, which would eventually become an Antichrist empire on the earth. And remember, I've taught this before, there are five political agendas that the Antichrist has that we can read in Revelation 13. A one world economy. The American economy would die. We'd be forced to come into a global economy. And you know, there's already a push. It's not far-fetched to think this, because there's already a push towards a globalist system in American politicians today. There's globalist politicians in politics all around America today that are pushing towards reunification under a global umbrella. Unified under the UN, unified under the WEF, unified under NATO, unified under NAFTA. All of these are a push away from individual national sovereignty and towards this group mindset, which essentially is the sin of Babel. That's a Babylonian spirit, I'm telling you. This book is being played out before our eyes. What was the Babel, Tower of Babel issue? What was the problem? What did God find issue in that day? They had come together in one language, one economy, one military, one power, one religion, and they said, because we're joined together, humanity united, we can build a tower higher than heaven itself. They wanted to attain to God's status as man joined together as one. That's a Babylonian spirit. You're seeing that today play out. You think the UN, you think all of that is just this global thrust towards world peace. Amen. Do you know who's going to be a proponent for world peace in the last days? The Antichrist. He's the only politician to ever have existed that's going to bring peace in the Middle East temporarily. Signing a treaty with Israel and the Islamic nations, bringing peace between the two. And then after 3.5 years, he's going to break it and reveal his ugliness and bring the greatest war and times of trouble on the earth ever known to man. But nonetheless, you see that Babylonian spirit playing out already. It's not far-fetched to see that this could play out easily. That there's no longer America first. If politicians that are not America first anymore, they want to come under the umbrella of a global government. One world economy, one world leader, one world government, one world military power, and one world religion. You're seeing that happen already. There's already pushes for that. So I really believe after the rapture of the church takes place, it'll so handicap the American economy and people that there will be no choice but to come under this reunified Roman Empire, which the Bible talks about. The empire of the Antichrist is going to be the reunification of the Roman Empire. An alliance will be formed that will come under the Antichrist's European-American Empire. And this is why America is not mentioned specifically as a nation, because it would have joined the empire that rules over the nations that are already mentioned and as key players in the last days. As I said before, America is not the center of final Bible prophecy. Israel and Jerusalem is. And I said it before, everyone was staring at the eclipse to find out the signs of the times, when really we're seeing happen in the Middle East right now as we speak, like a newspaper Bible prophecy playing out. Ezekiel 38. So that is why America is not mentioned in Bible prophecy. But what happened, I just want to give a brief summary of this because people are asking the question, what happened in Jerusalem, in Israel, on Saturday into Sunday? If you read Ezekiel 38, the Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog." Highlight that. That's a person. Gog is not the actual personal name of the person. Ezekiel 38 is mentioned. There's not going to be a guy named Gog coming out from the land of Magog. Gog simply means the supreme leader, the high mountain, the highest political figure of this nation. What nation? The land of Magog, the prince of Rosh. Rosh, scripturally speaking, if you study it, is the land of Russia. Rosh literally is an ancient group of people called Samartians that lived high north of Jerusalem by the Caspian Sea and later immigrated southern into where we find Moscow and Russia today. Rosh is referred to in extra biblical writings and always is referring to the far north nation of Jerusalem, which if you take your finger, point it on a map, get Jerusalem, and then go far north, you'll have Russia. And so there's this man named Gog, a supreme leader, a political figure, who is from the land of Gog, Magog, in and is the prince or the ruler over Rosh, modern day Russia, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against them, saying, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and I'll lead you out with all your army, horses, horsemen, and all the splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Verse 5. Persia, talked about it before, modern day Iran, Ethiopia, Sudan, and Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmets. All of these nations are literally engaged in war as we speak right now. And the two main ones, Russia and Iran, along with China, which you can read in the book of Revelation, the kings of the east that will come into Jerusalem. How? Through the river Euphrates. Why? Because the river Euphrates will dry up in that day. Which river in modern times has begun and is almost near fully dried up? The river Euphrates. We're seeing this play out in real time. The kings of the east refer to China and perhaps even the Stan nations. And the scripture talks about Russia and Persia, Iran, forming an alliance with these kings of the east to invade Israel. Who made an alliance in June of 2022? For the first time ever, there was literally a political allegiance and contracts signed by those three key players, China, Iran, and Russia. You know, the Bible prophesied of Jesus' first return. Over 300 prophecies concerning Jesus' first coming, his advent. Jesus' first coming was prophesied through the major and minor prophets and other scriptures in the Psalms and elsewhere over 300 times. Not 264 were fulfilled, but the others were it's kind of vague. We don't really, it's kind of cloudy area. Some were left undone, but you know what? The majority were done, so we can kind of just guesstimate that Jesus was the Messiah. No, 100%. Of the 300 plus Bible prophecies referring to Jesus' first coming were fulfilled totally and absolutely and completely to the T. And if God was faithful to do that and fulfill many of the other prophecies of Scripture, and there are over 2,500 prophecies in Scripture, and there are 27 to 30% of the entire Bible that refer to Bible prophecy, if the prophecies referring to his first coming came to pass with divine excellence, then I'm telling you, if you are trying to bet against the Bible, you are betting a losing bet, because everything else, just like Jesus said, until heaven and earth passes away, not one dot, not one tittle of the law will pass away until everything is fulfilled. So Ezekiel 38 talks about these three nations coming against, and other nations actually, Ethiopia and Libya, and Sudan and Libya, coming against Jerusalem. Is what's going on right now the battle of Gog? That Gog will lead? No, because first of all, it's not Russian-led yet. But notice something. October 7, 2023, Hamas invades. Hamas is funded and supported by who? Iran. Now, I know there's some Christians that are, why is he talking politics? It's not politics, it's prophecy. It's prophecy. So take a chill pill. This isn't politics, this is prophecy. And even if it was politics, the church ought to have a voice in politics, because if the church keeps its mouth shut, guess what? Wicked politicians and wicked people will be very loud, and it will sway the people towards there and influence the people towards those wicked and sinful and ungodly ways and opinions. The church ought to be involved in politics. Daniel was a politician. Joseph was a politician. King David was a politician. We ought to be involved. We should talk about pertinent things. One of the things that irritates me the most in today's preachers of my age and younger is that they're so biblically illiterate about these things. They have all these videos going viral about, is Miley Cyrus demon possessed? Who cares? Who cares? And then when things like this are happening, crickets. No, I'm going to be a voice in my generation of preachers to sound the alarm. Because if you talk about preachers from the 70s and 80s, like my mentor, Evangelist Tiff Shuttlesworth, has been preaching since 79, I think, or 80. And he would preach about one day there'd be given a chip or some sort of micro device that would go into, in the 70s and 80s, he's preaching this, that there'd be a chip put in someone's hand or forehead that would mark the mark of the beast, and that no man would be able to buy or sell without having that chip in their forehead or in their hand. And he preached that, and people called him crazy, and big denominations blacklisted him and called him crazy, but he kept on preaching. And now what do we have? Modern day technology allows us to put a microchip, like a grain of rice or smaller, into your hand and into your forehead. And if we saw anything in the last 3 years, it's that the governments of this world, because of everything being digital, they can shut down your bank accounts at the flick of a wrist. They can shut down your ability to receive money and spend money. They can take you out of the workforce. They can literally totally deprive you of your ability to operate in society overnight if they should wish to do it. Freeze everything. They call him crazy, but now look who's crazy. Bible prophecy is sure. Bible prophecy is guaranteed. So Hamas invades in October 2023. Who funds Hamas? Iran. Which is Persia listed here. Persia, Iran, is now actively involved in that war. Another nation sucked in actively. Before it was financially, now it's actively engaged. Well, who funds Iran? Who's the major supporter for Iran? No other than Russia. Russia, the Prince of Rosh. And so I love how the Bible says that God will put a hook in Russia's jaw and join them into the battle that's already being fought, and he'll lead the battle. Russia's the major player. Iran's like the little dog, and Hamas is even the chihuahua. But if you look at it right now, and I'm not prophesying anything, I'm just trying to make sense of this, and it seems to me like it makes very clear sense. Russia's involved in active warfare with Ukraine right now. But the Bible says God's going to put a hook in Russia's jaw and direct their attention towards Jerusalem. Could it be? I'm not saying this is going to happen, but could it be that in the coming days, I don't mean days, 24-hour periods, I mean the coming times that we're living in right now, could it be that there will be a moment in time where Russia will abandon its efforts with Ukraine, and that because of Iran, Hamas, and other Islamic nations that have in their heart to annihilate Israel off the face of the earth, that Russia gets sucked into it. And that the next world war is not fought in Europe, it's not fought in Russia, it's not fought in America or South America or even in Southern Africa, but it's fought for the first time ever, a world war fought right there in the Middle East. Could it be? I'm not saying it is. And I'm not saying that what's going on right now is the battle of Gog and Magog as we read it in Ezekiel 38. But it certainly has escalated and has potential to escalate into that. And why do I bring this up right now? Because if there was ever a time to make sure that your lamp is burning hot and your waist is girded. When God called Israel out of Egypt, he gave them instructions. When you eat the Passover meal, which is the sacrificial lamb, which represents our salvation, when you eat it, you should eat it with your staff in your hand. You should eat it with your waist girded, and you should eat it with your feet already sandaled up, ready to go. He was saying, be ready. And Israel coming out of Egypt is a type of us being saved from this world, but I also believe that it could overflow into a type of our final and ultimate salvation, where God no longer appoints us, or has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. That Jesus said that these things are going to come to pass, but pray that you may escape, that escape being the rapture, where we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, so that when these two, because scholars believe Ezekiel 38 and that battle is going to occur either right after the rapture or at the middle point of the tribulation 3.5 years after the rapture of the church. But nonetheless, it's a battle that's going to take place. And Jesus gave us a way out. And you have to be ready. You have to be prepared. There's not going to be a day to prepare once that trumpet sounds. You have to have your waist girded now, your lamp burning bright, your fire burning in your spirit. You have to become a radical believer for Jesus Christ now. If there was ever a time to throw off the garment of lukewarmness and indifference and apathy, it's here and today. Jesus said, I would that you be hot or cold, or I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. I believe that the fire of God is on this broadcast. As I've spoken of Bible prophecy, it's not scaring you, but it's designed to prepare you. It's designed to ready you for the soon coming return of Jesus Christ. My question to you right now is, are you ready? And if you're not, I want to give you an invitation right now to give your life to Christ and commit, consecrate yourself to Him. Say, Lord, I'm going all in with you, man. I'm not going to be caught away with the cares of this world. I'm not going to be distracted by the deceitfulness of riches. I'm not going to make my prime focus me, myself, and I in building my empire and kingdom on this earth. I am going to take to and keep to your assignment for my life. I'm going to put my hand to the plow. I'm going to look singularly focused to your plan for my life. I'm not looking to the left. I'm not looking to the right. I'm going to be a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth. And when my master comes, he's going to find me working, not tallying on the side, idle and stagnant, but working in the harvest fields, doing everything that I know to do. Hallelujah. If you've never given your life to Jesus, you need to do that right now. If you've come lukewarm, you've taken your foot off the pedal, you've just been coasting, you're in coast mode. You maybe have even come into a place where you know how to do the religious motions, and you know how to go to church, and you know how to lift your hand in service, and you know how to say the Christianese things, and you know how to amen the preacher. But there's something that you know in your heart that though you have a reputation of being alive, there's deadness in your spirit. There's lukewarmness in your spirit. There is a lack of genuine relationship with God in your spirit. Remember, Jesus himself said that when he comes, there's going to be many that are going to say, Lord, Lord, let us come into your kingdom. We cast out demons in your name. We prophesied in your name. We even did miracles in your name. Let the door open to us. Jesus said, yeah, I don't deny you did all those things because my name carries power in and of itself. Don't let this deceive you just because you're having miracles and you're casting out devils that you're God's anointed man or woman of the hour, because the name of Jesus carries anointing all of itself. Doesn't need your help. Doesn't need any of your anointing. The name of Jesus will work to cast out devils and heal the sick. It's not a litmus test to know whether you are right with God or not. There's only one way to know. Are your sins washed by the blood? Do you have fellowship with Jesus Christ, his son? Do you love people? Do you love God's word? Are you enthusiastic for the word of God? Do the things of God and the kingdom of God excite you? If there's no excitement, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong. But today it's going to change. God's going to dip you into the oil and kerosene of the Spirit of God and set you ablaze. And you're going to run and not grow weary. You're going to walk and not faint. You're not going to be those that are saying, Lord, Lord, let us enter into your kingdom. And him say, depart from me, I never knew you. Not only are you going to know God, God's going to know you. And there's going to be an intimacy formed today in Jesus' name. If that's you and you want to recommit your life to Christ, pray this right now from the bottom of your heart, out of your mouth. Say this. Actually vocalize these words wherever you're at. If you're watching live, the replay, or on the podcast, say, Father, in Jesus' name, I commit my life to you. I give myself to you. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean. I believe Jesus rose from the dead. I confess Jesus is Lord over my life. Come live in my heart. Fill me with your power. I renounce this world. I receive God's grace for my life. I am saved. I am forgiven. I repent of sin and I turn my eyes on Jesus Christ, never to look away again. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, I want you to go to my website, salvationnow.ca. I just got saved is the first link that pops up. Click that. Fill out the form. Get that information to me. I want to send something to you free of charge as a way of saying, welcome to the family of God. I'm not taking your address so that I can email you, please, for money. We don't do any of that. You'll never get an email from me. You'll never get a mail from me where I'm pleading for you to send. No, we don't do any of that. I want you to get that stuff to me so I can gift something to you. I want to send you a Bible, some reading material to get you started off in this new journey of adventuring with Jesus today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, in case you have fear in your heart today, with the impending threat of World War III and nuclear warfare and biological chemical warfare and the election year, what's going on? There's so much chaos and there's global crisis and uncertainty. And I'm sad to say that the level of stress in the world is unfortunately the same level of stress in the church. But I want to reassure to you what I did a broadcast on last week, which, by the way, if you didn't catch last week's broadcast where I talked about Psalm 91 and the 14 promises of Psalm 91, it would be a good idea to go and listen to that. Get that in your heart. Get that in your spirit. Because no matter the global crisis that will come to the earth, God has a plan to exempt you, to keep you. No matter if there's war, no matter if there's famine, no matter if there's earthquakes, no matter if there's viral outbreaks of sickness and disease, Psalm 91 is not just for times of peace. It's for times of war. It's not just for times of certainty. It's for times of uncertainty. It's not just for times of global stability, but even in the midst of global instability. Let me read one more scripture to encourage you, and then we'll close and pray for today's broadcast. Psalm 46. I love this psalm so much. The Bible says, our God is our strength and refuge, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though its waters roar with and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with its swellings, even though there's global chaos, the writer of Psalms says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, which is the church in prophecy. God will help her. She shall not be moved just at the break of dawn. The nations rage, the kingdoms were moved, but God utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. Hallelujah. I want you to write that in the comment section today. No matter what goes on, say this, write this in the comment section. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. He's my refuge. He's my protection. He's my fortress. He's my defender. Hallelujah. He covers my head in the day of battle. He's my hedge around me that guards me and keeps me. He's the help that helps me. Hallelujah. So Bible says, come behold the works of the Lord who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots of fire. Verse 10, be still. And that's my final word of admonition to you. Be still, be at peace, and know that God is God, that he'll be exalted among the nations, that he'll be exalted in the earth, that the Lord of hosts is with you. God is God. Be at peace. Jesus himself said, you'll hear of wars, rumors of wars, nation rising against nation, but be of good cheer. Do not fear, for the end is not yet, for this gospel is going to be preached in all the earth. And God has a plan for his church, that just like in Egypt, when Israel was in Goshen, there may have been darkness all around the land of Egypt, but in Goshen, where the Israelites dwelt, there was light. God has vowed to protect you. God has obligated by covenant to seal you in the refuge of his wings so that we can take shelter under the secret place of the Most High God. No matter what happens on the earth, it'll be minus you. If biological chemical warfare goes on and there's viruses released on the earth that have a 50 to 100% kill rate because of war, I'm telling you, God will keep you alive in times of trouble. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name, be encouraged today. Your tomorrow's going to be all right. In righteousness, you're established. You'll be far from terror and oppression. It will not come near you. It will not come near you. Because God said, because you've set your love on me, I've set my love on you. And I'll set you high above trouble, and I will honor you, and I'll be with you in trouble. And when you call to me, I will answer you. And with long life, I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for an impartation of the gift of faith on everyone watching right now. Spirit of God, flood their hearts with peace, with comfort, with joy. Just like that martyr who, when they pinned him to a wooden block, and they tied him and set him on fire, and he was burning up. The people that burnt him up literally heard him smiling and laughing and singing great songs of glory and joy as he was consumed and burnt up. Father, I pray that you would put that gift of faith in everyone's hearts right now. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. Father, I pray that you'd put that gift of faith in everyone's hearts right now to not worry or be concerned, knowing that there's an eternity. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, praise God. Praise the Lord.
Stay connected with us by visiting us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook by searching at TJ Malkanji, or visit us online, www.salvationnow.ca. God bless you, and until next time.